Hello, this is Jo Tomlin for Fringe Review, and I'm at the Edinburgh Fringe talking to two of the performers from Manual Cinema, who have just done a live cinematic shadow puppet show called Lula Del Rey. So would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, my name is Sarah Farnese. I'm one of the co-artistic directors of Manual Cinema, and I play Lula, and I'm a puppeteer in our show Lula Del Rey.
My name is Drew Durr. I'm also one of the artistic directors. I am a puppeteer in the show, and I also designed many of the puppets in the show.
So now, would you like to tell us about the show, Sarah, please?
Yeah. So Lula Del Rey is a unique piece because it is a story we keep coming back to over the years. So actually, a version of it was our very first show. Julia Miller, another one of the artistic directors, had this idea for this kind of like female vision quest. And she wanted to, after this like mythic band, and she had these lyrics from a lullaby that her mom used to sing her. So she approached a real life band in Chicago, Kyle and Ben, who are the remaining two artistic directors. And she was like, hey, I want to make this puppet show. Will you give me your music? And they were like, actually, we're composers and sound designers. And like, can we score a thing for you? And then her and I were working at a theater together, and we all came together to make what was like a 20-minute one-projector show called The Ballad of Lula Del Rey, and that was the origin of the company.
Okay. Now, we just heard the mention of projectors, which are quite a big part in this show. They are what we call old-school projectors that we would have in teachers' classrooms, but you use them in such a fabulous way. Could you talk about that, please?
Yeah, so we use, in this show, three old-school overhead projectors to make these projections that essentially look like a live animated movie created before your very eyes. And in the course of the show, we use about 500 separate color slides and paper shadow puppets used interchangeably with live actors in mask, in silhouette, to create something that feels cinematic. We use these old pieces of technology to basically do everything that a film camera can do. We have cuts, we have pans, dissolves, zooms. We try and make a sort of cinematic experience, but in a theatrical context.
So now you're one of the actors, the real live actors in the show. How is that? Because you actually run back and forth doing many other things.
Yeah, so the way it works is that we're trying to use, you know, cinematic shots and cinematic editing. So the scale of the screen I perform against, scale to my body, is like a medium shot. So whenever we're in these kind of like medium close-ups, I play the character in live action. And then if we were to cut to a close-up of Lula's head or a far shot of her leaving the trailer, those are puppets. And on my face during the show, I actually wear a profile mask. And what the mask does is that it makes me more like the puppets because they can't move their face. And this show, we actually made it to match my actual face because we hadn't invented the masks yet. And then we ran the show and realized I looked too alive and the puppets looked too dead. It was very uncanny. We weren't in the same world. And then Julia invented the mask to make the live action performers more puppet-like. So it feels like a seamless representation of a character.
So above where the puppeteers stand, it should be said also that everything is done in the open. No one is behind anything, and there's no backstage. So we see the puppeteers, the musicians, and even, I think, a tech person sitting on stage running the show here. So how do you organize all these stills and puppets, shadow puppets, and everything that you project onto the huge screen above you?
Yeah, so when you come see the show, when you first walk in, you'll notice, like you say, everything's out in the open, and each of us has a stack of about 100 paper puppets and slides sitting next to our projector. And they're all in perfect order, just like the lines of a script would be arranged in perfect order. And to perform the show, we each just go through every puppet one at a time. We don't reuse anything. We use a slide or a puppet once, and then we strike it down under our table when it's done. And we just alternate puppeteer by puppeteer, projector by projector over the course of the whole show in a way that feels like a dance. It's choreographed like a dance. And we're also playing with the musicians. like a dance, because we're responding to them and they're responding to us. Music and sound plays a really crucial role in the show because there's no dialogue that's used in the story. So music is sort of telling the story just as much as we're telling the story as puppeteers.
So there are also the three musicians sitting off stage. How did their part become developed? How much they would play and what they would play? Who composes the music? It's wonderful.
Yeah, so Kyle and Ben, who are, there's five of us in kind of the central collective, and they're artistic directors too. So actually the music and the visuals are, we consider them equal, and we kind of create them both at once with each other. I like to think of the music like the omniscient narrator of the show, so it can set the mood, it set the scene, dive into characters' heads, tell you what they're feeling. Because there's no words, like, music is hugely important to the narrative. And Lula, I love performing this one because there's not only the music of the score, but music inside the story. So as the character of Lula, a lot of my scene partners is actually the song and the musicians, like, off of the screen.
Yeah, I also notice sometimes, the shadows are, you're playing with shadows, so it's live actor playing with shadow puppets. I mean, that just looks fascinating. How does that feel for you?
It's great. It's a lot of pretending surfaces are real, pretending things that are is only light and shadow next to me. It's a lot like fight choreography, actually, because you're doing a lot of like fixed point and like creating the illusion of force while not pressing against anything. And the acting needs to be really precise because there's no facial gestures or no words. You can't sit in a moment too long, and you cannot also dive over things. It's really about finding the micro beats that let you have access to the character.
Yeah, one of the really great moments that I noticed was when I think it was your character ran downstairs, and you had to coordinate the physical of standing in one place, running, but then the image on the screen was the ladder. How do you coordinate that?
Yeah, that's all of the action sequences are my favorite. The chase, the climbing the ladder, running the stairs. And that it's kind of a mind meld with me and the puppeteer. So we're following each other. They're watching me, and I'm also interacting with their puppets. So it's a little bit of a cycle. It's fun because thinking about movies and like how quickly these action sequences move, one of the things we're trying to do in Lula is to convert that to something that's theatrical. So you can see us scrambling to make it happen and then see the action sequence above.
And how were the puppets made? Who made them? Did you both have a hand in this, or do you have other people that do them?
There are a couple of different designers within the company, myself and Julia Miller and Lizzie Bright, who also puppets in the show. And it's a combination of hand-drawn, hand-cut paper shadow puppets, along with color slides that we make from either our own illustrations or found photographs that we sort of collage together. This show has a lot of scenes of the American West and the desert and also the city, so we're using found photographs like from the American West to create the imagery. And then we also have, just recently we got a little machine called a silhouette cutter that allows us to design a shadow puppet on the computer, and then it cuts it out automatically just like a printer does. So if we lose one of our 500 shadow puppets, as we are often doing when we're on the road, it's actually pretty easy to replace one or cut it out very quickly.
I thought it was also interesting how some of the shadow puppets have moving parts, legs and head. And you actually transferred from live person being somewhat in the shadow moving into a smaller version moving. How hard is that to do? Because that must take a lot of planning and coordination, choreography, I suppose.
Yeah, we plan everything out in advance using storyboards. So it's actually just like making an animated film. We draw and storyboard everything out, and then we have to sort of figure out how to turn this animated film into a live performance piece. But it's interesting to compare it to other forms of puppetry, because our form of puppetry is different from, say, like a marionette. which has like a million strings on it, and you can make a marionette do almost everything by moving its limbs. All of our puppets comparatively are fairly simple. They're designed to do just one thing. A very tiny puppet is designed to just walk across a great landscape, or a puppet is designed to nod her head, or pick herself up off the ground. They're very simple, but put together across a whole show where there are, say, 100 different shadow puppets of Lula Del Rey, plus Sarah acting in silhouette in live performance, it creates the illusion of complexity.
Now, you're both billed as directors for this show. How do you direct yourselves when you're so much part of it?
It's like Drew said with the storyboarding process. So Drew, Julia, and myself got together. We write the story treatment, and then we storyboard out the shots. So we say, oh, we got to start with this like far shot to get the expanse of the desert. And then let's get to a close-up so that we check in with the character. So we see how it works on paper, and then we build all of the puppets. But we don't do a lot of the art direction. So not the backgrounds or the color yet, but just like the essential gestures of the scene. A little bit like Pixar does an animatic, like a simple animation. And then we edit that together digitally, and then the three of us can sit down and look at it and be like, oh, yeah, that's great, or like, we don't need that live action scene, or, oh, we definitely need another shot here because it's too fast and we need to like reach into the sadness in this moment. So there's a lot of layers in the process of looking at things from the outside and then diving back in and doing it.
Are you all working on a new show? I know you're quite prolific. You have quite a lot of shows. I've also seen one of yours last year, twice. But what other shows might you be working on in the future?
Yeah, we're working on two shows, this time from existing material. The first is a show about a poet named Gwendolyn Brooks, who was the first African-American poet to win the Pulitzer Prize in the United States. And that's sort of a show we're creating for our hometown of Chicago, where she was from. The other show we're working on is an adaptation of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, which both tells the story of the novel, but also incorporates elements from Mary Shelley's own life.
And that's great. And where is Manual Cinema going next with Lula Del Rey?
Ah, Lula Del Rey. Oh, next we'll go to the Long Center in Austin, Texas. And I've never been to Austin, so I'm pretty excited about it. And then China. Yeah. But we do have more engagements in Europe for both Ada Eva and Lula in the next year. So if people go to our website, they can check out the calendar and see if we'll be in a town near them.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon and talking to me about your shows, which are so incredibly imaginative and creative. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.